prayers and praise and more prayer and more praise has always brought me closer to Him. And I've asked myself many times in 36 years of trying to serve God, am I close enough? Do I need to get closer? Am I where I need to be? And I always come back with the same answer. The only thing that brings me closer to God is to get in His presence in prayer and praise. It says He inhabits the praises of His people. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
He inhabits. I've thought about many times when I didn't feel God's presence. And I've said it before. He hasn't moved. I moved. He steps over here, and if I stay there like Pastor preached this morning, the Lord, Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God, that's kind of following. Jesus always wants us to follow Him. Tomorrow, this week, starting this week, is going to be the RNC. Right? Everybody knows what that's all about? Alex knows. He's excited. If we've ever prayed for an election, I've never followed election or politics in my life as much as I have this year. Only because I believe this nation is on the edge of turning two directions. And I'm not saying a president or a new president is going to be the salvation of this country. But I do believe they could be instrumental, and God can use the next president or the next process of what we go through. There's going to be protests this week. There's going to be opposition this week. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to take place this week. And I believe we need to be prayerful about this week. Would you agree with me? Our nation needs prayer. This church needs prayer. Lord, help us to be the people You would have us to be in the season and the time that we're living, in the days that we're living, that we can be part of the solution for this nation.
Sky, fall down like rain. touched by love divine. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, fall down like rain.
Ever being on our lips. And in Psalms, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Listen to these words. The song is about basically us being the bride of Christ.
Shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes. angels and saints, we sing worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing worthy are you, Lord.
Thank you.
ushers can come. I can't think of an instance in anyone biblically that ever approached Jesus that did not get healed. He said, as your faith is, be it unto you.
Yeah.
God, grow our faith. Master Mason, would you pray for offering?
Exceeding joy. Your grace fell like the rain and made this desert live. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my mourning into dancing. My sorrow into joy. Your hand lifted me up. I stand on higher ground. Your praise rose in my heart and made this valley sing. Your hand lifted me up. I stand on higher ground. Praise rose in my heart and made this valley sing. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You have turned my mourning into dancing. My sorrow into joy. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. Thank you.
His word tells us that he'll give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Always amazed how that God can take the worst in us and make it the best. He can take my trash and turn it into treasure. Lord, you're so good. You never look at us in discouragement because you know that you're the potter. And you can make the vessel again and again and again. As long as we stay in your hands, as long as we stay on the wheel and let you mold and make us into the vessel of your choosing. There will be times when I become marred. There will be times when I make mistakes. There will be times when I do my own thing and go my own way, only to find that it's injurious to me. It's not good for me. But Lord, you care so much for me and you love me so much. But you don't throw the clay away. You don't discard me, God. My submission, if I allow you to place me back on the wheel, Lord, you once again mold, you make. And I'm thankful, God. That's why my praise, that's why I lift my voice unto you, God. It's appreciation, gratitude, God, for what you've done for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is so good. What a wonderful move of the Holy Ghost. We had service here this morning. I encourage you that if you are not able to be here, not because I preached it, but because I feel that it was a great word from the Lord, in the sense that I believe that God had orchestrated it. I know there'll probably be a couple weeks yet before it is uploaded on our website, but I would encourage you to go and listen to the message. I don't know about you, but I'm still, even this evening, as I'm thinking about the word of the Lord, and I'm still, my prayer is, Lord, I just want to be where your presence is. I want to be in your will. I want to be in your way. God, I want to do what you would have me to do. Thank you, Jesus. If thy presence go not with us. I'm sorry. I'm just still so overwhelmed. Thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind. Second Timothy, chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 11. It reads, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep, everybody say keep, that which I have committed unto him against that day. Apostle Paul, writing young Timothy, says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I have no doubt in my Lord and his ability to keep those things which I have committed unto him. He goes on to say in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. But you need, Timothy, you need to understand that you need to keep those things which have been committed unto you. And this is how you do it. You keep these things by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. Let the Lord want to preach you upon this subject, keeping by the Holy Ghost. Keep by the Holy Ghost. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. How wonderful it is to know you, God. We ask that you would touch, you would minister, God, throughout the course of this message tonight. Stir our hearts and our minds, God, to be in tune with your Spirit, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you for who you are and what you do, Lord. We know, we are persuaded that you are able to keep those things which we have committed. And now we need to understand that the other side of that coin, Lord, is that we, through the power of the Holy Ghost, are to keep those things which you have committed unto us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The word there, keep, in the Bible literally means to vigilantly secure. We might say to guard or protect, to keep, to watch over. Those are words we use in regard to securing something of value. None of us would, if we had any intelligence at all, would take something of value and leave it unprotected. It was about 10 years ago now. I recall my wife and I had the opportunity to go to New York City, and the man that we were introduced to is a friend of an acquaintance of ours, and met us at the airport. And this man, who is a one God apostolic tongue talker, who attends the church there in Manhattan, this man, Brother D, we called him, was so gracious to give us a tour of the surrounding area. And we felt like we were royalty as he went to restricted places and took us into areas that we and few other people are able to go. One of the places that Brother D happened to take my wife and I and the other couple that were with us, we went into the Federal Reserve Bank. He happened to know the head of security for the Federal Reserve. They had been in officers' candidate school together, and so he called ahead, and the person met us there at the door, and they took us down to the safe. We had to ride an elevator I don't remember how many stories deep, but we rode in the elevator all the way down to the entrance and to the vault. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, they're really, really intent on keeping this place secure. They say that this vault is under the bedrock of Manhattan. And as we made our way down and we opened up into the Federal Reserve vault, if you will, there were guards there. There were individuals with guns. There were individuals that were making sure that we were supposed to be there. And we had to do some security clearance checks. And then they walked us in through this cylinder thing. And they told us that this cylinder was a door. And that if you were on the other side and this cylinder were to shut, that you would only have so many minutes of air because it was airtight. The reason why this place was so protected is that there in the Federal Reserve Vault is where that they exchange gold between countries. I had the opportunity, my wife and I both had the opportunity, we held a bar of gold. This bar of gold was, it was unbelievable how heavy this gold was, and it was one bar of gold that represented some $283,000 based upon the value of gold at that time. I literally held in my hand $283,000 worth of gold. And I'm sure that those that saw me hold it were keeping a watch over me to make sure I didn't try to do something with it. Because it was something of great value, and that area is greatly protected. And I found out, we were there not too long after 9/11, I found out that when 9/11 happened and the city was in uproar, that the NYPD, they placed upon the building on the other side of the Federal Reserve, they placed their snipers because they were afraid that someone would try to go in and take what was there in the Federal Reserve. And they had in the museum are coins that are invaluable in artifacts and things. And so they wanted to make sure that it was protected.
Now, I would bring that over to the spiritual side. I would bring that over to you and to I. And I would say that we need to understand that God has given us some exceeding great precious promises. That God has bestowed upon us some wonderful things. And we need to understand the significance. We need to understand how important and how valuable those things are that God has given unto us. They, might I say, exceed any value that this world could bestow. They have eternal value. They are not temporary. They do not fade with time. These things are eternal. They are timeless. And God has given these things unto us. And so we would be remiss. We would be rather idiotic, if you will, if we just decided that we would not guard and protect these things, that we would just leave these things open. Matter of fact, Jesus made the statement in Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Jesus is saying, listen, when you have something of value, you need to protect it and you need to watch over it. You know, you don't need to be frivolous with it. You don't need to be careless with it. You need to guard it and you need to keep it. We need to understand that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is an intent on taking any goodness that he can from your life. He is intent on trying to take away those things that God has committed unto you. He is desirous to steal from you your joy and your comfort and your peace and your love. The enemy is, might I say this, hell-bent on making sure that you do not keep on experiencing the goodness of God. He endeavors in He wants to make sure that he can somehow creep in through the cracks and the crevices, that he can somehow be a small fox that will spoil the vine, and that he will steal from you and I those things that God has given and bestowed upon us. And so he would like for us to be careless with those things that God has committed unto us. He would like for us to neglect. He would like for us to just feel like, well, it's not really a big deal if I pray. It's not really a big deal if I read my Bible or not. It's not really a big deal if I make it to church or I don't. He would love for us to have that kind of attitude, because that kind of attitude indicates a carelessness with what God has bestowed upon me and what God has placed into my care and what God has committed unto me. Might I say this, if God, and I dare say that each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, is God, has given us the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we need to understand that that understanding is a timeless treasure, that those truths are eternal, that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we have life and immortality, and we understand how precious those promises are and how wonderful it is to know this great gospel. And so it is the enemy's intent that you and I do not carefully guard and watch over. You and I are careless with what God has committed unto us. And so the Apostle Paul, writing young Timothy, he says you need to hold fast the form of sound words. Timothy, don't put a light grip on this stuff. Don't take doctrine for granted. Don't take the truth that I have taught you. Don't take it for granted, because if you're careless with it, you can easily be swayed about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, because there's cunning craftiness. And so, Timothy, you gotta hold fast the form of sound words. Timothy, you've got to keep, you've got to guard, you've got to protect. And we need to understand, the Lord said, listen, you cannot go in and spoil the goods of a strong man until you first bind the strong man. And so we, as the people of God, need a great revelation of how important it is that I build myself up praying in the Holy Ghost, that I become stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the enemy seeks to come in and spoil the goods. He will try to use every device, every weapon. He will form all kinds of weapons, and they will come against me. But I need to understand that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All those who rise up against me shall fall. I know that through the power of God, I'm able to keep those things which He has committed unto me. So hold fast the form of sound words. The New Living Translation reads like this: hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. A pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Hold fast, young Timothy. Make your calling and election sure. But I say this, folks, it is not time to play games with this truth. It is not time to compromise. It is not time to make other considerations. It is time to hold fast. It's time to stand. And having done all to stand, it's time to stand on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so I'll hold fast. I'll pound the anchors deep. I'll stick the stakes in and make sure that I'm holding fast. Because if I am not careful, and if I am careless with what God has committed unto me. See, that's why it is so important that I pray. And that's why it is so important that I read my Bible. And that's why it is so important that I make faithful church attendance. Because it's helping me hold fast. It's helping me keep those things which God has committed unto me. And I'm sad to say I've seen many who have thought it not really necessary to make sure that they were watching over and guarding those things that God had given unto them. And as a result, they were careless and they didn't keep them and they didn't hold fast, and now they're swayed about, and now they're compromising, and they're considering all sorts of stuff. And I think, oh my Lord, if they would have just got it down in their soul and in their spirit, I've got to keep that which has been committed unto me. It's precious, it's invaluable. See, Apostle Paul tells Timothy. He didn't say, Timothy, you'll keep those things committed by being real smart. You'll keep those things committed by great intellect. He didn't say, Timothy, you'll keep those things by good intentions and good motives. No. He said, Timothy, the way you're going to keep them is by the Holy Ghost. The way you're going to keep them is by the power of God working in your life. You and I, there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important in being able to keep those things which God has committed unto me than the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Because not only is the power of the Holy Ghost dunamis power in the sense of exploits, in the sense of power to perform, but it's also power in the sense of exousia power, a restraining power, or a holding power and a guarding power. And so through the power of the Holy Ghost, I am able to keep those things which He has committed unto me. And so the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential in doing what I need to do in living for the Lord. And we keep the good things, we keep the goodness of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. If we read the passage, the beginning verses of where I read for our text, the Apostle Paul saying, wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep. See, the question is not whether or not God's able. The question is not whether or not God's going to keep those things which I have committed unto Him. He's going to keep them. He's going to keep them against that day. Whatever I've committed unto God, He's not going to be careless with. He's not going to be frivolous with. He's going to have great concern, and He's going to watch. So He's going to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Where the true question lies is me. Am I going to keep those things which He has committed unto me? Am I going to take the goodness in those things that God has bestowed upon me and those things that God has entrusted in me? Am I going to be able to take this treasure that He has placed in this earthen vessel? And am I going to be able to keep it? Am I going to be able to watch over it? Am I going to be able to guard it? Am I going to be able to take those things which God has placed into my heart and into my life? See, I've been privileged, and I am privileged. I was raised in truth and had God-fearing parents. Through the course of time, they trained me and they taught me and they helped me. And they placed some things in my life, but I also need to understand with that entrusting came some great accountability. But those things which they prayed about over me and those things which they have in a sense worked and labored for the Lord, and part of that work and labor for the Lord they invested in me, those things that they have placed into my heart and into my life, I cannot be careless with them. I cannot be frivolous with them. I need to understand they paid a great price in their lives to bestow upon me some precious promises. So I've got to keep those things which have been committed unto me. I've got to make sure that I don't steer away from the doctrine. I've got to make sure that I still believe repentance and baptism in His name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is essential to salvation. I've got to keep those things which have been committed unto me. There's a great duty and obligation, but I need to understand the same God that keeps that which I have committed unto Him, that same God will empower me to keep that which has been committed unto me. Say that again. The same God that keeps that which I have committed unto Him will empower me to keep that which has been committed unto me. You see, I can't do it in myself. I will become swayed. I will compromise. I will contemplate if I don't learn how to filter things through the Holy Ghost. Catch it. If I don't learn how to let the Holy Ghost be my guide, and I don't learn how to allow the Spirit of God to make the necessary intercession for when I know not what I ought to pray for, it helps me to pray, and it does stuff for me that I don't even realize is going on, things that I don't realize are happening. But if I learn how essential it is that I allow the Holy Ghost to work in my life, for it will empower me to keep that which He has committed unto me. Because I will not keep the good that has been committed unto me by my good intentions. I will not keep the good that has been committed unto me just because I'm a part of a great family. I will not keep the good that has been committed unto me just because I come to church. I will not keep my... Stay with me. I will not keep the good that has been committed unto me just because I go through the motions and just because I call myself a Christian. No, the only way I can be assured that I'm going to guard, that I'm going to watch over, that I'm going to protect, the only way that I can be assured that it's safe and secure in me is through the power of the Holy Ghost. How many have tried other ways? How many have tried to educate themselves enough so that they understand? Listen, there are some things that you and I are not going to understand. There are some things we just have to accept by faith. We just have to walk by faith and not by sight. And we need to understand that we hold fast the form of sound words, those things that are done through faith and love in Christ Jesus, and that He's able to keep, but He's also put some stuff that I need to keep inside of me. And the only way I do so is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. And that's why it is so essential. It's not just essential for my salvation. It's not just essential that I be changed from mortal to immortal. It's not just essential that I change from this corruptible to incorruptible. But it's essential that I take this treasure that is in this earthen vessel and I protect it and I watch over it and I make sure the enemy doesn't find a crack or a crevice to get in and wreak havoc in my life. That I watch over it, and every time I see an attack upon the Spirit of God, I say, oh no, 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 greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He's able to keep, but now I need to make sure that I'm doing what's necessary, that I'm submitted. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the way that I learn to submit is through the power of the Holy Ghost as it works in me and as it sanctifies me, as it separates me, as it does a work in my life to keep me from allowing the enemy in, to watch over, to guard and protect. How foolish it would be for them to take down the barriers and the walls and the fence. How foolish it would be for them to go to the guards and disarm them and say, we don't need the protection. Let's just think that everybody's going to let all the gold here at Fort Knox just stay. How foolish it would be for them to drive the tanks away and all the armament and say, we just believe in the goodness of people overall, and they'll just allow it to stay here undisturbed. Let me ask you this. If we know in the natural sense how absurd that is, how absolutely, might I say this, ignorant that would be, why in the world would we begin to tear down walls and fences? Why in the world would we say it's really not necessary that we keep these things anymore? It's really not necessary that we uphold these things anymore. It's okay. I just believe in the overall goodness. Oh, no, no. I need to understand there is only one good, and that is God. And if I'm going to keep those good things which he has bestowed upon me, I've got to let the Holy Ghost guard. I've got to let the Holy Ghost watch over and keep. And so I will build myself up praying in the Holy Ghost. I will allow the power and presence of God to make sure that things are in order and the bulwarks are in place and the walls are secure, because what's inside is so precious, and what God has given unto me, it's not up for anybody to just come and do with what they will. It's precious. So I will keep it by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm closing. You may stand to your feet. It's no wonder why, when we experience a wonderful, we call it a move of the Holy Ghost, but it's essentially us and our flesh moving out of the way so the Spirit can have free reign in our lives. It's no wonder how that it seems like it's so much easier to do what's right, guard what is right, when we're fresh off powerful service. Fresh off a great prayer meeting, a move of the Holy Ghost where we feel thrilled and moved, helped. You see, I'm not content with just having a little bit of security. Catch it. I'm not content with just having a little bit of protection in my life. I'm not okay with just having a touch every now and then. I wanna walk in the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not interested in getting a little bit. I'm not interested in just getting a little sprinkle and then feeling like I'm okay. No, I want to be saturated. I know the more Holy Ghost I have, catch this, or shall I say, the more the Holy Ghost has me, the better the goodness that God has placed in my life is protected. Went over Thursday night after service, and they had children's church over the new dorm area that they had built, constructed on the Illinois campground, and I knew that they had children's church, and so I walk in there and could tell the kids had been praying, and there were still kids up at the altar praying, and little Landon came over to me, had a big smile on his face. And please understand this, I am in no way, shape, or form do I demean children's ministry or what happens in children's ministry. If I believe, hey, if they're going to mock anything, and what I mean by mock, I mean not mock, but mimic. Let me use the right word. If they're going to mimic anything, let it be the goodness of God. And I realize that there have been people, I've heard people testify of receiving the Holy Ghost at 4 years of age. I don't doubt that happens at all. Landon came up to me. He said, Dad. I said, what, buddy? He said, I got the Holy Ghost. And I don't know, maybe my look was not assuring. I don't know, but just kind of looked down and I said, oh, you did, bud. He said, just a little bit. And I know it's humorous and we laugh about that, but how many people have somehow convinced themselves that just having a little touch or just having a little experience, that's really all I need? If I understand how valuable this is, if I understand this treasure that is in an earthen vessel, then I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure I have every amount of protection that I can. It's precious. I know He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him, but I want to keep those things that He has committed unto me. Because they're precious and they're great. The legacy that the Lord tarries, the legacy that I leave for my children and those that come behind me, I'm not so much concerned with leaving them materials. And well, that's great if there's something they can fight over on my will. None of that is near as important to me as making sure that I've protected, that I've guarded, that I've watched over the goodness that God has bestowed upon me, because that I want to pass down, that I want to entrust them with, that I want to say, here, I may not have a big house to turn over to you, I may not have a lot of accounts with a lot of money in them, but I've got something much more valuable that I've been able to watch over and that I've been able to keep and I've been able to guard. Lord tarries, I want to see that my children have the same type of mentality that says, I want to protect what Daddy gave to me so that I can give it unto His grandchildren. And all that I would understand how important it is, I can't be careless with it. I can't be frivolous in how I handle it. I've got to allow the Holy Ghost to work in my life to watch over it, to keep it and protect it. As we sing this song, these altars are open, and I would that you would find a place to pray and say, Lord, help me understand just how valuable it is. Help me, Lord, not to rely upon my own aspirations or my good intentions or my motives. Lord, help me rely upon Your Spirit. Help me to be built up praying in the Holy Ghost. Let Your Spirit watch over and guard. Let me give it free rein, Lord. Walk all the areas of my my life. Lord, leave no stone unturned. I don't want any crack or crevice to be available for the enemy to climb through. Lord, help me. I don't want to let my carelessness cause an ignorance in regards to His device.
Overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to Your heart, oh Jesus. There is nothing we want more.
If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's another opportunity, another chance for you to come and say, Lord, I need that which will guard and protect and keep the goodness that You have bestowed in my life.
Holy Spirit, lead us to Your heart, oh Jesus. There is nothing we want more.
Just a little bit. I don't want just a touch on Sunday night. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to notice the attacks of the enemy. I want to see where he's trying to creep into my family. I want to see where he's trying to wreak havoc in my home. I want to notice those things that the enemy would use to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I want to understand that through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can see, I can notice how the enemy would attack. Let me reinforce the areas of weakness. Let me build up the walls.
And I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit, and I. side. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God.
It is no wonder why our society is in the state that it is in. It's not really a mystery why the God of this world, Satan, is being so successful in his assault on godly principles and values. Really shouldn't surprise us as we see these things occurring and those things that you and I hold precious being, if you will, sold off. Might I say it's because we don't have more spirit-filled believers who understand it is the Holy Ghost that keeps. The reason why we are in the times that we are in is because more don't have the revelation of how essential the Holy Ghost is to make sure that these things are safe and secure. Sanctity of life is protected. The sanctity of marriage is protected. The reason why these things have been open and available and the enemy has been so successful is simply because we don't have more spirit-filled believers that would stand up and say, no, we're keeping that. Jesus talked to the disciples about his going away. He said this. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. And I know I've been preaching quite a bit of late concerning our society and the times in which we live. And I've even made the admission from a pulpit and some of the apprehension I have in raising a family in the society that we now live in. The Lord kind of checked me about that. Because the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is the comforter. It's the one that, you see, when somebody's safe and they're secure, then they're comfortable. They're not safe or they feel like they're in danger, well, then they're uncomfortable. And the Lord said, listen, I've given you the comforter so you can be safe and secure. So don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Because you've got all you need to keep it safe and secure when you rely upon the Holy Ghost. It's the comfort. It's how the Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm comfortable whether I'm abounding or whether I'm abased, whether I'm full or I'm hungry. It really doesn't matter the circumstances or the situation. It doesn't have any effect upon me. Because I've guarded my life and I protect my life with the power of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, even in the midst of trial and tribulation, I can endure affliction as a soldier of Jesus Christ, because I know I've got the comforter. I've got the help that I need. The power of the Holy Ghost to keep that which has been committed unto me. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, let this message be a reminder of how important it is to have the power of the Holy Ghost at work in our lives. Oh, we can't rely on an experience that happened days ago or months ago or years ago. Lord, it's got to be fresh. It's got to be new. We've got to be vigilant, Lord. We've got to be sober for our adversary. Walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so, Lord, I've got to make sure the guard is in place. I've got to make sure things are secure in spirit. And I do that by the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ. If we could have all the ladies meet Sister Day up here at the front. She needs to speak with you momentarily. So all ladies, if you could come forward and meet Sister Day at the front, that would be great.